I'm going to put this, I'm going to bring this kind of open. I wanted to see what y'all thought about this. I want to qualify this statement by starting like this. When someone says to you, just because you say that you are a child of God, does that make it so? And is that supposed to make you special? So if somebody says something like that to you, oh, there's so many ways I know that we can respond. And I'm going to go one way in my response to that. But before I do that, I'm going to lead off with a verse and see. I want to see where y'all take this. I'm just curious. It's no, this is the way. This is just. I'm going to start off with a very familiar passage of scripture, Genesis, the second chapter, in the seventh verse. It reads like this from the NIV. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, that's the verse that I pondered that came to me when I thought about responding to somebody who says these words are similar to me. But what about you? What do y'all think? When I said that to you, somebody says, if somebody was to say something like that to you, how do you think you're going to respond to that?
Can I get the question again?
It's not really a
I
question. What the statement was, if somebody says to you in similar words, it don't have to be exact words, just because you say that you are a child of God, does that make it so? And is that supposed to make you special?
Well, I do honestly. I like the first question that the person asks, because just because somebody says it doesn't make it so. Does that make it so? Because you got a lot of people out here that this false out here, this fake. It seems like the context in which they're saying it is very condescending, a little bit. So,
But is
I
it
don't know.
legitimate? I mean, is it a really legitimate question?
I think the first one is. The second one is you're trying to be smart, but the first one is, because at the end of the day. Does it make it so just because you say it? Now, we're not going to say, now again, what's one of the things you say? Only person I really know is saved is me. You say
That's
that all the
true.
time.
That's true.
So I mean, I wouldn't really like it if somebody's trying to be smart, but I've got to answer. And my question is, and not because I say it, the scripture says it, right? That's the first thing. I would say the word of God says it. I believe the word. But the second part is that it makes me special. Of course it does, because the Bible says that too. So I mean, I'm going to that would be my take on it. But I don't know. Everybody got a different viewpoint.
What about you, Digimon? What'd you think?
I agree with Ron to a degree, but I've never been asked a question similar to that in any aspect of it. But the only thing I can tell him is, in my heart, I believe I am based on my beliefs from, and I can go into that through my foreparents and so on, and their foreparents, based on the word of God, because that is my belief. Because you, when a person asks you that, 9 times out of 10, you're probably dealing with a non-believer. And if you're dealing with a non-believer, you got to come at them at that angle. If that's the perception that I'm taking. Yeah, but that's a weird question to ask somebody. Like Deacon Ron said, they're probably being sarcastic with that second part because you're not living it. If they were asking that second part, that means you ain't living
Does it? Does it?
it. Yep. No, I'll give you this. I'll give you my example. I'm not perfect by a long shot. But when I go past the Get High house, they know who I am, and I've talked with them many times. I've prayed with them, informed them. I go past there, even right now. I go past here, no matter what they're doing, smoking, drinking, they put it behind them. That means they know what you're about. And they don't go past the line to them. I ain't nobody special. You can keep doing what you want to do, but
Your
I'm going
voice
to
is
talk
going in
to
and out. Are you facing your mic?
Oh, man. Now you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when I go past them, whatever they smoking or drinking, they put it right behind them. And I said, that ain't nothing special to me. You can do what you want to do. But out of respect, I guess they know they should project the image of sincerity with your creator or your God. And that's good. That's not a bad thing. I've never had nobody ask me nothing like that. That's kind of
No, you
like,
never had that.
no.
I never had that.
Nah, I never had nobody ask me when I walk with my Bible since a kid to now, why are you walking with that? You don't know nothing about that. No.
That's amazing. I've heard this a number of times. Not it doesn't have to be, like I said, worded the exact same way, like especially the second part. They may not say exactly
I know what you mean.
is that supposed to make you special? Or they might, I hear them say, yeah, well, you know, like you said, is that just because you say you're a child, God, does that make it so? And
Nah,
then they turn around and say, is that supposed to make you special? So I've heard them say, well, what's so special about being a child of God? I've heard some ask that, some being sarcastic, but some legitimately so. Most of the time it's sarcastically, but some have asked it legitimately so. And because they didn't know, well, what makes that so special? Now, you made a statement. If they ask that question, you said they usually what?
a non-believer.
Yeah, you know, and I at that point, yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But at this, because that means they don't know. And if you don't know, I mean, you know, I mean, you're not, you know, you don't know. You're
But
not,
wait a
you're not.
minute now. Wait a minute, Pastor. If they ask you something like that, that means they've been around you for a while. And if you ain't living right, that's why they ask you that.
No, I don't think so. I don't want to say that. Go ahead, dig a Smith, yeah.
No, I wouldn't take it that far and say that's the reason why. That could be a reason, but I wouldn't say that that's the reason why they're doing that. You know,
Yeah.
that could be a reason, but like at the end of the day, like you said, some people just don't know. And I don't know. I just think that question is one of them sarcastic type of questions that I'm gonna get one of these. Yes. Yeah, I think it's just you trying to be sarcastic because people always just want to come against certain things. Just because you say you believe it, that make you one, you know, and then are you that make you special?
Yeah, but that's first part you said. I agree with you, Diggs. I see you digging more. I'll get to you in a second. That's a solid question to ask. I believe that is a solid question. Did that make it so because you say you are? That's a solid question. Now the other part, that could be taken a couple of different ways, sarcastically and what have you. But Diggs, Mose, you got your hand up? You had something?
Yeah, not the closest thing I've had was a person asking me what make a person a Christian. That's it. And
Thank
I
you, man.
go into how I can describe what a Christian is based on the word of God, based on their lifestyle, based on that. That's it. Well,
Yeah, now, I mean, this is interesting because my mindset went a little bit different with this. Now, like I said, I put Genesis 2:7 out there for a reason. Because this is where it just took me. I talked about this Sunday and I spoke about this during our podcast yesterday, which I do often. And then a lot of times the same thing in different ways I bring back on the Bible study. Now, in Genesis, the second chapter in the seventh verse, look at what it says. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, watch this. The breath of life, and the man became a living being. We know in King James it says a living soul. I believe that. But a living being. Now I want you to ponder that. Keep that in the recesses of your mind for a moment.
you
Okay?
said 2-2.
2:7.
All right.
Genesis, the second chapter, and the seventh
Got
verse. I might have said 2 by mistake, but I mean the seventh verse, but I did say
it.
2.
Okay.
Now, having read that verse, you're going to flip. You're going to flip to John, the third chapter. Okay? I'm dealing with verses 1 through 8. I'm not going to read it all. I might, but I'm going to specify certain parts of this that I want to point out. Now, y'all familiar with the passage of scripture? You know, now
Yeah.
there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling class council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Now, Jesus replied, I want you to, I'm highlighting this, watch this. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, I highlight that. Remember what he said. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, right there, that statement right there, if you're not even a believer, what does that imply? Right there.
You gotta have a renewed belief in the in God.
Okay, you say that. You see anything different, Deacon Smith? What can that imply right there alone? I don't care whether you know God, don't know God. Let me reread that. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." The obvious. Don't look deep into it. The obvious. Just look at what it says. Obviously, what does it say? Remember, don't get confused with what you know, what you think you know, just with what it says.
No, what I was saying was, to me, the obvious thing is you need to be born again to see the king. I mean, I know I'm not just trying to repeat verbatim, but you
Okay.
need to be born again. But the question could be, what is born again
Now
to people who don't
you're
know?
getting there. Now I see you think it's kind of weak. Give me a second. Born again implies that you have been born already. Now that's like I said, the obvious. Don't look deep into it. Now I say you have to be born again. So it means you've already been born. So which is obvious. But I need you to be at the obvious. Deacon Cotton, what you saying?
Well, wait a minute now. When you say the kingdom of God in this verse, it's not taken literal. It's taken figuratively in the Greek. In the Greek, I'm
It
talking
might
about what
be.
this is. It's the Bible. And if you're taking it figuratively, the kingdom of God can be a state of mind. Yes.
No, I get that, and I get that, and I like okay, because I where I was going, Deacon, I mean, Pastor Cotton, you said, state the obvious, but I think to me the first obvious was what, like, because first of all, let's be honest, with the naked eye you can't see the kingdom of God
No.
unless the veil was taken off. So when I got there, you need to be born again for the veil, so you can see like on like next level eyesight. Because at the end of the day, you can't see it, but you can see it. Yeah, I don't know if that make any sense, but
Well,
like I know what I'm talking about.
makes sense to me, but always, like I say all the time, remember who you're talking to, or could be you're talking to someone who does not know. You're basing this on your knowledge already, which you know. But you remember, if you're talking to the Joe Blow in the street, you're going to respond like Nicodemus did. Look how Nicodemus respond. "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." See right where Nicodemus went with that? Right where he went with that. He was befuddled.
Right.
Because why? He's thinking of what? Natural childbirth. That's where his mind went. And nobody said that he's stupid for thinking that way. Who wouldn't think that way? Because you don't know. Remember, you don't, he doesn't know what you know. Okay? So you got to pick him where he is. If you're talking to Joe Dopes on the street, just because this is 2026, just because people have access to information at their fingertips doesn't mean that he knows. Doesn't mean that he knows. Okay? And Nicodemus, at that time, you're talking about a very learned man. Remember, a religious man. Okay? A man belonging to the, ruling council. He, respected in the community. But Jesus threw him a curve. That's what he thinks. I mean, we look back at it. Paul, you knew he got thrown a curveball. Wait a minute, how in the world can a man be born when he's old? To him, this made no sense. I mean, looking back now, it's kind of difficult for us, but trying to put ourselves in his place, can you blame him for thinking that way? Really? Really? Because he doesn't know. He doesn't know about that. So Jesus had to reiterate the second time, okay? He says, "Verily, verily, I tell you." Now watch what he said. Watch this. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Now, oh, he said, "Whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute." The first time he said no one can see the kingdom. Now he says no one can enter. No one can enter the kingdom. What does that say? Now, what does that say to you? Whoa. Now you're feeling what Nicodemus might have felt.
Now I'm trying to make it make you said speak to it like you're speaking to somebody who don't have a clue, not a clue, but so I'm
Yeah,
trying to make that make sense in my head to them. Because even though like Nicodemus didn't have a clue, Jesus is still using this type of rhetoric. So you would think like you're required to have some type of knowledge because he's still using like some rhetoric that could be difficult to grasp because you can't see the kingdom, which is kind of metaphor for I believe it's like metaphor a little bit in there. I believe it's some symbolism in there. And then you can't enter the kingdom. How can I enter something I can't even see?
And now, well,
You
let
know.
me finish reading, maybe to keep it in context, so it makes sense. He says you can't enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and
And of the
the
spirit.
Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. And you know the rest, the wind blows where it pleases, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. What do you see being emphasized here again?
Well, the key is being born of the spirit.
Yes. Why is that important? Why is this? Now, what is Jesus bringing out here? First, he says you can't see the kingdom. Then he says you can't enter the kingdom. Okay, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. Why are those two things important? Water and the Spirit, what does he mean by that?
Well, I believe, me personally, my interpretation is you need the word and you need the Holy Spirit to me. I'm looking at that because I always liken this to washing up with soap with no water. You need one to activate the other one.
I agree 100%.
You know, so I just look at it like, yeah, you can't enter because a little later, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father unless you, I mean, no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. So I believe it's like everything like works together. But as far as just dealing with this, I believe like you need the spirit and the word. I think you need both for transaction to go down.
Well, what do you think Nicodemus is getting from this? You got to be born of water and the Spirit. Now, he didn't understand what he said being born again, but now he says you got to be born of water and the Spirit.
I'm still stuck where I was at because when I read down further on this, like I say in the beginning, the kingdom of God can be a state of mind. And I stay with that because Jesus even tell them, don't marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. And then he explained to them how this goes and nobody don't know where it comes from. He said, don't marvel that I told you to be born again. You just gotta. To me, this is what I'm getting from what it's saying in the Greek, and it's figurative. The kingdom of God in this phrase, in this chapter right here, from what Jesus telling them, born of the water and spirit. So his mind has been corrupted already, number one. But when he say be born in the spirit, that means you have to have the instillment of the spirit of God with you. I don't know about it's just so
Oh,
conflicting.
your voice is going in and out. Where's your mic?
I don't know. I'll put it
Oh, you
up
don't
here and
know?
put it up here and see what happens. Is that better?
Your mic is coming out of your camera.
I think I don't know if it's on the bottom or the top. Let me see. It's not on the bottom. It don't look.
You don't have a
It's on the
straight
top.
out mic. What do you
There it is. You hear me better right here, don't you? You
Well,
hear me better right here?
I'm looking right at your chest.
That's all right. You hear me
Yes.
better right here, right?
Not really, but
It's up the top, I believe. That's what I see. Unless this is it. You hear
there
me
you
better
go.
over
There
here?
you go. That sounds good. Where you at? I don't know where
All
you
right,
are.
yeah, it's over here. All right, I got you now. I'm gonna do it like this. Then you'll hear me better this way. There you
Yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Now, if you take the angle that the kingdom of God in this phrase right here is a state of mind, and he talking to him, don't worry about I say to you that you must be born again. Don't worry about the water. Don't worry about the spirit. Because things happen and we don't know where it's happening at. That's what he's talking about, the wind blows and nobody don't know where it comes from. That's one reason he just got to have a change of mind when he say to Jesus this. He know that Jesus is the rabbi. He know he's the teacher. He know he's the authority on the word of God. This phrase here, I don't see where people get it mixed up with being baptized, because if you look at it in the Greek, it's all figurative. That's metaphoric, in other words. It all is. And Jesus told him, don't worry about when I said be born again. He just told him, don't worry about that. He just told him, a lot of, not saying you, but a lot of pastors and preachers, they switch this around to being baptized. And I don't see it like that, because it don't really say that when you translate it to the Greek.
Well,
The
we
kingdom
know.
of
See,
God.
one thing we know, if we're going on past knowledge, you're not born again from because of the water. We know that. Okay, baptized. Otherwise, you wouldn't need nothing to be but baptized to be saved, and it doesn't save you.
Right, we did.
So
We got it
we
right.
know that. But okay, unless they are born of of water and the Spirit, he's showing a correlation between water and spirit. But the emphasis is on the spirit, because watch what he says. Flesh gives birth to flesh. It's literal water is physical. You feel that. But he said, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Okay? Now this is a key. That part there is a key. Okay? That part is the key. You can't jump past that and not understand what he means by this. You got to get an understanding of this. Okay?
Well, again, when you look it up in the Hebrew, it's still all figure. It's all metaphoric. It's all
Well,
metaphor.
but that doesn't take away from what it means. Whether it's metaphoric, figurative,
Well,
or whatever, it still has a meaning. It's there for
when
a
you look.
meaning. You need to understand what it means. You got to understand it. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go to Romans 8, the 14th through the 16th verse. Romans, the 8th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verses. And I'm going to read this in your hand for the
Here
benefit of
you go, right here. Let me explain this. When you
read
say
it.
about the flesh, it says stripped to the skin, that is strictly the meat of an animal as food, in parentheses, or by extension, the body, as opposed to the soul or spirit, or as a symbol of what is external, or as means of kindred, or by implication, human nature. Human nature. See, it's human nature, not flesh, physical, human nature. All this whole chapter here, this phrase, parable, is metaphoric, all of it. And that's where a lot of people want to make it from metaphoric, figurative, to literal, physical. It's not. It's
But that's not the key. The problem,
the
whether,
key?
but no, listen to me. Even if it is metaphoric, even if it is figurative, it has a meaning. Why is it being used? That's the key. Doesn't matter whether it's whether it's metaphorical. It doesn't matter. What is the meaning behind it? That's the key. Whether, no, it's not literal, but what
Well,
is the meaning of it?
if you want peace of mind, which is the kingdom of God, to what I'm understanding here, is the kingdom of God. If you want peace of mind, you have to have a renewed mind. A renewed mind, knowing who created your mind, knowing who created this earth and everything. That's it.
But we're not
That's it.
talking about a peace of mind here. We're talking about what it says.
It says specifically a human being. That's it. That's it. That's what
No,
it's saying.
yeah, okay. But now let's go. What does that mean? That's the key.
Again, it's
That's
a
not a
renewed
meaning.
mind.
That's a description. That's not a meaning. Let's go a little bit further. What it is right now, you don't, be honest, you don't have enough information. Let's go a little bit further. You don't have enough. You got some, but you don't have enough because it doesn't give us the meaning of it. I mean, there are a lot of things we can look at that are metaphorical or that are figurative. Putting a ring on somebody's finger, okay, it's figurative. What does it mean? Okay, then, yeah, it's figurative, but it has a meaning. And that's what we look, that's what we focus on, the meaning of it. We know it's figurative. That doesn't do anything. That ring could be a 10, it could be a 10-cent ring, it could be a $10,000 ring. It doesn't matter. The part what matters is what is it symbolizing? What does it mean?
Well, when you look at
That's
the kingdom
all
of God in verse 3, when you very, very I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In this kingdom of God here, it can be taken both ways, literal and figurative.
okay, we got no problem with that. That's good. Okay, no problem.
But when we do, we all is acquainted with us, it's only us three here, I guess. It's we all are acquainted with dealing with non-believers and their misunderstanding or misinterpretation of any scripture. We all are acquainted with that. What we got to get at is if they want to learn more, how can we break down anything to them on their level or on their level of understanding so it don't become overwhelming and confusing to them? I got what you're saying.
No, you don't have it complete because we're not finished. It's not enough information here yet. It's not enough. It's not enough. Because he
Well,
says, look at what he says.
you
The flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. That's not clear. That's not clear yet. But the spirit gives birth to spirit. That is not clear yet. That needs to be clear.
Now, is that not clear for Nicodemus, or not clear for you mean hindsight looking back? That's not clear for Nicodemus, or just to an
It will
unbeliever?
be clear. It is not clear to anyone who does not understand the meaning of it. This is an example. Even though he's talking to Nicodemus, and when you speak about something that's figurative, this whole lesson could be taken as figurative if you want, because it applies to whomever is in a position that they don't understand what Jesus means when he says, okay, you must be born again. That's where this all stems from. Nicodemus didn't understand that phrase, being born again. That's where it stems from. Now, remember where I started from in Genesis. I'm gonna show you why that's impactful. I started at Genesis, went straight to John. Then I said, let's look at Romans, the 8th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verse. Okay, watch what it says here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. We know that we're talking about the Holy Spirit. There ain't no question about that, right? They are the sons of God. Now, there's many that are led by the Spirit, not just familiar with it, just know of it. He said that are led by it, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received, now watch this, don't let this get by you. For ye have not received the Spirit of bondage to fear, the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now let me stop there for 1 second. Now, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as many that are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. The key here being led by the Spirit, not familiar
Right.
with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God. Okay? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Now, watch this. You have been adopted
Right.
into the family of God.
Yes.
You have been adopted into the spirit of God. Now, the kingdom of God. I did not disagree with you. You say it could be, what did you say, Diggy Mose?
A state of mind.
You said it could be a state of mind. I'm not going to say yay, nay, or whatever. I'm just staying with that. Okay. But watch what he said. Okay. The spirit itself. Again, he's talking about what? The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. What does he mean by our spirit? What does he
The
mean by
spirit that
our
God
spirit?
breathes into us. The
Speak
spirit that
up.
God breathes into us.
Speak up.
The spirit that the Lord breathes into us.
Ah, now you're there. You're about there. You're about there. Okay? Now, that spirit that God breathed to it, he breathed into man. Into what man?
To mankind. To mankind.
Into Adam.
Well,
That's
that's
the spirit.
humankind.
Now, every man, okay, now watch this. Every man born from past Adam received that spirit. This is why, because see, we know that since Adam and that sin entered the world, man is born into sin. But
Right.
this is part of the reason why he said, you must be born again. Because that spirit that he breathed in us, man became a living being. Man, yes, every man can say yes. We received that spirit and we became alive. We got an essence. Watch this. That spirit that came from the breath of God, from the essence of God. Not the same level, not the same degree that Jesus had, no. But it came from God. That spirit, that breath, gave mankind life. Gave mankind life. But since man has now been born in sin, and sin has entered into man and has corrupted man, you must be born again. You gotta be born again. But this is not a physical birth. It's not a physical birth. He made that clear when he said in John. He said, listen, okay, you got unless they are born of water and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, he says, gives birth to spirit, the spirit that man has. That's why he comes back and says in Romans, okay, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Every man, woman born, every man, woman, boy, and girl walking the earth has a spirit.
Right.
But unless they are born again, they do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They don't have that. And this is why Jesus, you say you got to be born again. You can't see the kingdom. You can't enter into the kingdom unless you are born again. You can't enter into the kingdom as you are. You've got to be born again. And when you are born again, okay, by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, any way you want the word that is fine with me, you become a child of God. And that, yes, that makes you special. That makes you special. Everybody can't say that. Everybody doesn't do that. But that makes you special. Because you're a child of God. Yes, that makes you special. God breathed, yes, into everybody some of his essence. That's how man became a living being. You know, I don't know how often we have thought about this. God, yes, God formed man. Man lay there just like Michelangelo or some great sculptor could make a piece of art. But for God to breathe breath into the nostrils of man, that which he formed from the dust of the earth. And man became a living soul, a living being. That's special. That was special. Man was perfect when he did that. The world was perfect when he did that. Everything was good when he did that. But we know what happened a little bit later. Man still lived, but man is corrupted. Now, if you want to be able to spend your eternity with God the Father, with Jesus the Christ, in eternity, in heaven, you must be born again if you want to become part of the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God? Yeah, you said the kingdom of God can be I still forget what you said, mental, a state of mind,
State of mind.
part of it. In the bottom line, I'm not going to disagree with that, but that is not all it is. That is not all the kingdom of God is, a state of mind. It is not all of it. The kingdom of God, one, as the word describes it, is a place. It is us. It is more than one thing, as it is described in the word of God. But the bottom line, you cannot become part of it unless you're born again. That's the bottom
Let
line.
me. A lot of times, people get hung up on the born again aspect of a renewed way of thinking, a renewed thought pattern. When you accept Christ as your savior, you are having a renewed mind. We are doing that. And that's when what comes in the mind of let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Because you accepted Jesus as your Savior, now we got to start living on what He says how for we to live. If that person isn't already on their deathbed or whatever, but that's the angle that I'm going with. If a person doesn't know why, to be born again and baptized is a whole nother concept to an individual who don't even understand what it means. A lot of times we gotta just get to the basics and let this person know, do you accept Christ as the creator of all? Sure. Everything is based on his life and death. The time we live is based on his life and death. 2026. He died. Everything is based on him. You don't have no other religion of any major religion where it's so worldwide as Jesus Christ. None. There's none. You might know about the Pope, but the popes have all died. Jesus rose again. We live off of Jesus' death and life, BC, AD. When we get to the basics with a non-believer, that's good. Stuff like that, the water and all, is nice when we want to explain other things on a further understanding. Basics is what they need. If they don't understand it, basic. Do you accept Jesus as your favorite savior? Sure. Bible clearly tell you, let this mind be as Christ. Follow his commandments. Follow his mandate. The greatest two commandments is good enough. You ain't gotta go all 10. Love the Lord God with all your mind, body, and soul, because now your body is the temple of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. You gotta love yourself so you can love your neighbor. It's done. It's done.
I don't disagree because that's what the word says, but but the teacher in me would not allow me to just be done with it right there until I explain what those mean. I can't leave it, or I can't leave it there. I couldn't in good conscience, because let me tell you why I could not leave it there. One, the man's concept of love is not what is not the love that God is expressing here. It's not what he's saying here. Man's concept of love. When you hear people talk about love, I love you, that their concept of love is not the concept of love that is being taught right here in the scripture. It's not. We're talking about an agape love. We're talking about the love that God teaches. And the love that man expresses is not the same. It is not. And they need to understand that. You know, you cannot love your neighbor Okay, what do you mean love your neighbor as you love yourself? When you say I love myself, it sounds good, but what does that mean? And if you see, okay, and that needs to be explained. Because if you, God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then,
Yes.
and all of that goes along with it. So you got to explain to the man what kind of love God is talking about. It ain't that love, the same love you talk about. I love my children, or I love my wife, or I love my husband, or I love my job. It is not the same love. It is not the
That's
same
it. That's
expression of love.
it. That's
Yeah.
the angle you take.
No, it's not the angle. No, stop. Stop. It's not the angle I teach. It's what the
Listen.
Word of God teaches. What
And
love is he talking about?
I just gave the word of God on what I said
Yeah,
too.
but you didn't
And it's
explain
just
what
enough.
love he's talking about. Don't you know? Let me tell you something. Oh, wait a minute. First Corinthians, I do this all the time. We've talked this. First Corinthians, the 13th chapter. You have 18 expressions of love right there, just in that chapter.
We're not going to agree on that, Pastor,
No, you
because
don't
the
have to
same
agree
way
with it, but read the
you have
word.
different levels of love, you have different levels of
No, I'm
hate.
not saying different levels of love. There are
Now,
different
I'm
types.
telling you, it is.
No, there are
And
different types of love, not levels of
there's
love.
different types of
There
hate.
are
And
levels,
there's different
yes.
types of hate.
Yeah, well,
But
we're not
now,
talking about hate.
we're
We're
not
talking
going to agree
about
on it.
love.
We're not
Oh,
going to agree on it.
we're not going to dismiss
We're
it
not going to
because we
agree on
brought
it.
it up. You don't have
We're
to say
not
anything.
going to agree
You
on
don't
it,
have to say
Pastor.
anything, Mo. Just listen. You don't have to say a
No, I
word.
want to hear it because we're not going to agree on it. And you want to get your
Well,
point across,
no, you
but
don't
we're not going
have
to agree
to
on it.
agree. But
We're not
all
going to
I'm gonna say,
agree
let
on
me,
it.
I'm gonna finish my statement. You can't dismiss my statement. No, what I'm saying to you is that if you're gonna express the word love, then express it in its totality. There are 18 examples of love in 1 Corinthians 13.
Three examples of
Read it
hate.
at your leisure. Read it at your leisure or don't. That's all I'm
How
saying.
many examples of hate is it? I don't agree with that. No, I don't agree with
You don't
that.
have to agree with it,
No.
but that's the word. You don't have to agree with that.
No.
It's just like, now you use the passage of script that we use often. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus.
Right.
That's a very familiar passage of scripture, but how many people tell you what that mind is? It tells you right there in the same chapter. Yeah, it goes on and tells you what that mind is. It don't
Yes.
tell you to, it don't just tell you to have that mind. What kind of mind
Right.
did Jesus have? It tells
A
you right
humble
there.
mind, to be humble and treat your neighbor as a friend.
No, the
As
mind,
a
I mean,
friend.
no. Read what the word says. Not what I think, not what you think, what the word
It's all
says.
basic. It's
You know,
basic.
the
Going
word
to
don't,
the same
no, read
thing.
what the word says. He
It
says,
goes down to the same thing.
well, let's see. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2nd chapter, 5th verse. Who, one, being in the form of God, thought it not be robbery, thought it not right to be equal with God, made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient. This is the mind of Christ. He tells you right there in the passage. It's not enough to just tell somebody, let this mind be in you as Christ Jesus, without telling them what kind of mind Christ Jesus had. It's important. The statement is true, but it's only part of the statement. Tell the whole statement. What kind of mind did Christ have? Well, here it is right here. Here it is right here. Tell it to him. That's all I'm saying. Don't just say part of the statement. Say it all. And he says, love. What kind of love is Christ talking about? Is he talking about a Christ-like love? Is he talking about what type of love? Is he talking about a phileo love? What kind of pathos love? What type of love
No,
is he talking about?
I'm not getting into all that.
Well, you don't
No.
have to, but that's what I'm saying. I cannot, and I would not tell somebody that without explaining to them what love God the word is teaching. That's me. If you would, that's you. And I'm not arguing it, but I'm stating where
You
I
did
am with
argue.
that. I'm
You did
standing where
argue.
I am with that. And to
Well,
me,
that's where
if
you
I
are.
just, excuse
Pastor,
me.
that's where you at. That's where you at. Okay, fine. You
Yeah,
free.
and that's what I said to you, but I need to make that
Fine,
clear. I need to make that
fine,
clear.
fine, fine.
Yeah, so anyway, going back to where we started, before, like I said, I'm gonna try, when we talk about how special we are to God, we looked at the simple fact that one, oh, there's so many things we can, we ways we can go with that. What makes us special? Special enough that God would send His Son to die for us. People say, well, yeah, that's because the love that He had for us, God, He loved us, yes, enough to do that. The word says that he loved God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay. Okay. Yes, he did that. Okay? We are called the sons of God. Okay? Not the son of God, no question about that. Okay? And that, yes, all of this that God did for us makes us special. And we're special, yeah, it makes us part of his family. You know, and that's what's key. So many keys in the passage that we've written, okay? There's many that are led by the Spirit of God, being led by it. That says so much. That says so much. To be led by the Spirit of God, that says a whole lot. And that, you know, yeah, he didn't say those who know of the Spirit, those who the Spirit, he said being led by it. That means you're doing just what the Word of God says. You're allowing yourself, okay, lit to live by the Word of God. And the Word, you know, that's basically what he says. That's what the Word says, teaches us in Romans, you know, 10:17 and 1:17. That's what it tells us. Our faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, you know. And the just shall live by faith. That's what it tells us. And this all ties together. You know, the Bible is not, and its teachings are not just single entities. They intertwine. They work together. You know, that's what the word does. And it's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord and the Holy Spirit teaches us, opens up our understanding. So that we can have a greater knowledge of what it is he's saying to us in his word to show us how they intertwine. It's a wonderful thing. How they go together. And this is what we say, yes. So somebody asks you, as Deacon Smith pointed out, because you say you're a child of God, I didn't say so. No, the word of God testifies that I am. Well, how does it do that? Because I did what he told me to do. I believed him. I received him. I acknowledge what that me being a sinner. I confess. I did what the word of God taught. And he said, if you do this, you become a child of God. I've done that. So it's not what I think, not what I believe, it's what the word of God says. And I believe, if you had to bring up, well, what did the word tells you, just believe. Yes, I believe that the word of God is the unerring, inerrant word of God. I believe that. That's what I live by, what the word teaches. And then because I live by that, that tells me that I'm a child of his. And that makes me special. Because I became a new creature or a new creation in him when I became born again. That's what I became because the word of God says so, not because I say so. He said, I became a new creation in him. Old things are passed away. Behold, all, not most, not some, not the majority, all things become new. That's what the word teaches. That makes me special. Don't you feel special? Don't you
Of
feel
course.
special that God took that much interest in you, that God loved you enough to let his Holy Spirit dwell in your temple, in your
Well,
life?
pretty close.
Oh, yes, that makes you special. Yes, it does. And we should realize, yes, how special we are. That we can be led by that very spirit that indwells in us. And that
Most.
makes us sons of God. Deacon Smith, you're saying?
Oh no, I'm just testifying with you. I'm just saying, come on.
Yeah. Yes, that makes us special. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. And there's so many things that the Word of God says about me. He calls me friend also. You know that? He calls me friend. I'm his friend. And I'm joint heir with him. Oh my gosh. I you know, some of us can say, we say we're just so special that we have seen our very children accept the Lord as Savior. So not only am I their earthly father, I'm also their spiritual brother. My Lord, have mercy. Have you ever seen such a thing? That's special.
Yeah.
Everybody can't testify to that. Everybody can't claim that. But you can. Why? Because you're special. I'm gonna let this thing go. I'm gonna let this thing go. because you are special. Do you realize how special you are to God? That he would do that? I say this, y'all, then I'm gonna let this thing go. This Lord has been on me for months. I don't know how long. That do you can you imagine that there are trillions and trillions of things that God does every day on this planet? Trillions. I mean, we have no idea how many things God does every second of the day. But one thing he did, he allowed you to be part of everything he does this day. You don't have any idea the influence, the part that you played today is going to play in everything that God has planned. But he lets you become part of it. He lets you have a part. We don't know how it all intertwines. We don't know how all the workings of it. Just like I can't explain to anybody how I could watch television look like I'm watching people right there in front of me, yet that TV screen is not even 3 inches thick. It looks like they're three-dimensional. I can't explain it. But it happens. It's there. I can't explain everything God does. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't know. I think I read it in some book somewhere. Who knows the mind of God? I think so. But I'm gonna let this thing go, y'all. Y'all finally on that thought, do you realize how special you are to God? Any questions, comments?
No, really good. I'm good.
Okay, if there's no nothing else, somebody want to close us out in prayer?
Yeah, I'll close this out. Yeah, I mean, Father, we thank you right now, God. God, I thank you right now. Even as I'm in Planet Fitness, they can't hear what's going on, God. But I pray that the spirit would just move, even in this place right here. I pray that somebody would even watch somebody working out and see that they need a savior. Even in the way that we conduct ourselves here, God. God, we thank you for these reminders tonight. We thank you for just your spirit moving. God, we thank you for even awakening us that maybe there's some things in the scripture that we read so many times and we can just go back when you give us something else from it, God. So we thank you. God, we thank you for the various perspectives as we have three different minds, well, four different minds that are on here, and we can think. And guess what? They all ain't wrong, you know? Different viewpoints that can be brought out at different times, God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for just your word. Oh God, we ask that we will not just be hearers, but doers of this word, preaching the gospel, but more importantly, living the gospel. So God, I pray that you would just be with us, minister to us, God, and just have your way with us. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
All right, all
Love
right.
your family. Y'all take it easy. All
All
right,
right
y'all. Love
now.
y'all, man. All right, love you
Right.
back.
Love
All right,
you
y'all be
too.
great. All
All
right,
right.
y'all.